Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
Need to know brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. You need to know Easton Roofing has you covered. They can get you back to work, get you back to life faster with Easton Roofing. Estimates always free. Suggestions built on integrity. Let Easton Roofing educate you about every possible roofing solution for you and or your home or business. Either way, they'll be happy to take care of you. The biggest industrial jobs around. It's like 20-story building they were working on. No job is too big for Easton Roofing. Great locally owned and operated company. Easton Roofing is an Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Call them today at 913-257-5426 or see them online at eastonroofing.com. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Integrity matters. Let's get you started with a little bit of Andy Reid meeting with the media today. A lot of questions about Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the main part of the discussion. A lot of questions about getting it done on fourth down as well. Let's start there. Andy Reid asked about his philosophy of going for it on fourth down and whether or not that's changed over the years.
Well, listen, I think all of us as coaches, offensive coaches or head coaches, whoever making that decision for that team, would tell you that the philosophy hasn't necessarily changed, but you're going to evaluate things that might change around your thinking. So maybe it's your football team and the quality of players that you have and then at that moment, how are you feeling about that situation at that particular time in the game? And so on. I mean, there are a few things that go into that. So I would tell you that, obviously this team is, this offense is a veteran group of guys and I've got trust in them. So I just felt that it was okay to go there. I mean, I had another situation down earlier that we didn't go and we attempted a field goal. So there's a time and a place for everything. And you just try to have a feel on that the best you can.
Did he say no and then basically give reasons why it had?
That's what it seemed like. Well, no, but then boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has, and I think it's, analytics is forcing its way in. I truly believe that you're going to see guys going for it a lot more on fourth down. It's what kept Cleveland in the game, and there are opportunities. Now, Cleveland had a fourth and 18, the fourth and 28. They had something that just wasn't even an option, but I think the fourth and less than 10, particularly the fourth and less than 5, it's going to become commonplace to be going for that in the future, and Andy Reid's got the firepower to get it done. I think he as often as anybody should be looking to do that. I think there are opportunities that he could take that he hasn't taken to this point. Certainly helps to have Patrick Mahomes on the field. What's his status, right? We're all waiting. He's in the protocol. Andy Reid wouldn't put concussion and protocol into the same sentence, but he's in the NFL protocol. I'm going to call it concussion protocol. I believe he's going to have to pass the concussion test, although there are questions about the reason why he staggered because of a blow to the head. And I think it's reasonable to say, look, he kind of got choked. He landed on the football. Did that knock all the air out of him to where there just wasn't enough air to the brain, and so he wobbled and the brain isn't concussed? I don't know. If that's the case, then he should pass the concussion protocol very quickly. I think the concussion protocol will take care of either. The people I've talked to said that they believe he is going to have to pass the concussion protocol, that he's in that, and so they're not going to be able to kind of sidestep it and say, hey, it wasn't really a concussion. He staggered around, and that's enough. That puts you into it. But there's some optimism. In fact, I think quite a bit of optimism that he will be able to play. We'll see as he goes through those different steps. He also hurt his toe, right? Andy Reid was asked about the toe injury.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, Herbie, I just leave that with Rick and the docs, because of the protocol, it's a no-brainer from the coach's family. You don't have to think about it. You just have to go forward and make sure you have an answer if he's there, and an answer if he's not there. I can't tell you from a medical standpoint where he's at. I mean, I don't know that. So that's their decision, and I just follow it.
Yeah, my bad, actually, on that, just saying it in my headset. My bad. That was his status on the concussion. Now, so I skipped ahead. My bad there, Jed. I apologize. But you get the gist of it. He says he doesn't know. We're going to have to go through the process when it comes to the concussion part. But his toe was hurt. Here's what Reed had to say when Nate Taylor asked him specifically about the toe injury.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay there for right now, Nate, with the toe part. I think we'll be all right then.
Okay, be all right. What do you take that to mean?
That he's okay.
Do you think he'll be limping? If he plays the next game, will he be limping?
It wouldn't shock me because the one thing, the him leaving the way he did, kept that from getting worse. It seemed like every time after every play, the limp got worse and worse and worse and worse until that last play. So I wonder if had he not been hurt the way he was, if he'd have been limping around even worse late in the third and fourth quarter. He did not seem to get better.
I think toe injuries, I think if it's going to be a turf toe, which I think is the most likely injury for it, those linger on for a long time.
Yep.
I think he said he'll be all right. He didn't say he'll be great, 100%. Yep. He'll be all right. It's an injury that he can play with, but I think he's going to be limping for the rest of the playoffs.
Yep.
That's what I think that means. That's how I'm taking it. That's what I'm expecting to see. And, again, he can play with it. He won't be 100%. He's running it, what, 90% with it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of how much of the pain can he tolerate, and I think the kid's proven to be pretty damn resilient on that front for sure. All right, let's hear Andy Reid. I asked him a couple questions on this. First, here he was asked how he weighs the risk and reward when it comes to Patrick Mahomes running the ball.
It does happen. I mean, listen, it happens. It just hasn't happened much to him over time here. So that'll still be part of the game. Depending on what the play is, as we go down the road, let's just see how things work out this week for him. See how it works.
We'll see how it works. He doesn't want to be pinned in. No, I won't call that play again. He wants guys to have to prepare for that play being in the game plan, but he's also not saying, "Oh, I'm definitely going to do it." He's in a spot, right? Like, that one got him hurt, and there's legitimate criticism there, and Andy Reid knows it. He has big boy pants. I think he's got to take a look at it. I think later on in his career when he's not as mobile, you're not going to run that play wherever that was, age 30, 32, 34, 36, somewhere that play wouldn't be there. I think you could come up with something else, particularly right now with the guy being a little bit banged up. Then maybe you need to be a little bit less risky with those things. I asked Reed if he thought the option play is a less risky one than, say, the quarterback sneak that they haven't run for quite some time.
You know, Serena, it gets you a little bit more out in space, the ones that we use here, as opposed to going up the middle and, you know, stating the obvious, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, I know the protocols take over and all the doctors do all that. Is there if he were cleared on a Sunday morning, having no practices, would he be able to play? Or is there a certain point during the week where you, maybe not publicly, but you in your head say, okay, he's missed too much and he's out and we're going with Chad?
Well, I'd hate to say it publicly.
Well, I know you wouldn't.
I'll have to evaluate that as we go forward. You know, let's just see how this whole thing rolls.
Here's a lesson for you. Don't talk past the close, right? The question should have been, if he gets cleared on Sunday and hasn't practiced, would you play him? And he still wouldn't have answered it, but it would have been more definitive. Dancing back around and giving him outs was a terrible job on my part, by the way. Listen, would you play him without practice? I think the answer is yes. I think he should. I think he's that good. Would he be as sharp as if he had practice? No, but can he do it? If anyone can, this guy can. He's the guy that could do it. All right, the Scouting Combine is changing its formats. No in-person workouts, pro days will be on campus. Instead, all virtual interviews and psychological testing will be limited. There'll be limited in-person medical exams, so it's going to be a different kind of combine for the NFL this year. Tennessee fired Jeremy Pruitt. They're firing him with cause. This after a weeks-long investigation into potential recruiting violations in the program, something we talked about last summer. This news was getting out there. It's not shocking. Justin Fields is going pro. He will leave Ohio State after just 2 years, so stay tuned for that. We will take a break. When we come back, we talk some more NFL football. Trent Green joins us next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Who's lost a tremendous amount of weight from last year, but still is a very big man.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. He did something no quarterback will ever do again. Get drafted in the 8th round. He's a two-time Pro Bowler and has as many rushing touchdowns as Joe Delaney. Look it up, it's true. It's time to go from the gun with Trent Green on the program.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some football with the quarterback, Trent Green, former Chiefs quarterback, CBS, Westwood One. He joins us here on our T-Mobile guest line. Trent, how are you, sir?
I'm good. It was an exciting game to broadcast, and it's always great working with Kevin. So it was a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, of course, had the call for Westwood One, you and Kevin. And tell me, what was your thought when first you saw Patrick Mahomes limping around? What went through your mind?
Well, I saw him, stumbling as he was trying to get up, and I'm like, they've got to take him out of the game. If that's why they've got all these different things in place when it comes to, concussions. They're supposed to have a...
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Just, I don't want to get ahead. On his toe first. But first, when you saw him limping around on the field.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what had happened. We didn't see anything from where we were, and we didn't know, what was going on. But then after we saw some things on TV, in our replays, that's a scary thing when you get your foot stepped on. I had it stepped on a bunch of times by linemen and other people, and your foot is such a delicate thing because there's so many small bones in there. I was thinking initially that it was just a bruised foot, because like I said, I've had it happen a bunch of times. But then you always get the fear that potentially there could be a broken bone in there or something like that. So the fact that they didn't run him into the locker room right away and x-ray it, was a positive sign. The fact that I know where the x-ray room is at Arrowhead, so at halftime they very easily could have gotten a quick picture just to make sure everything was fine.
All right, so that puts fear into the hearts of all the Chiefs fans I know to see him hobbling around. Then to see him go down. Yeah.
Sure, and not to jump in, I think it did affect his game. I think there was it was noticeable after that there were times when he wasn't stepping into it. So he wasn't completely comfortable or confident in it, because there were times that the ball had sailed or the ball went short, and that's because he wasn't transferring over onto that front foot, which is understandable if it's hurting.
Yeah, I agree. And on the television broadcast, they pointed that out as well. You quarterbacks miss nothing when you see the fundamentals of it. Tony Romo mentioning that exact same thing. And I think this is one you and I have talked about, his kind of, sidearm. And you've talked with Patrick about it, his sidearm delivery, his back foot, off the back foot deliveries. That almost kind of helped him in this game, right? Because if you can't do the fundamentals of delivering the football the way a quarterback coach would want you to, not bad that you've practiced a lot of off-balance throws throughout your life. I mean, he's probably better equipped to handle that than maybe anyone before him.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think of it that way, but that's a great point. The fact that he does, sometimes it bites him, but for the majority of the time, considering the throws he makes and how dynamic he is, his arm strength and a lot of what throwing is your core. So your hips and your core and using that rotational force. A lot of times if you even break down certain quarterbacks, if the pocket collapses, they don't even step into their throws, because a lot of times you don't have room to do that. So the fact that Patrick had all those things in place. I guess the other guy that jumps to mind for me would be Aaron Rodgers, because there's a lot of times, or at least several times I've seen where he's actually, both feet are off the ground, and he's just, he's just whipping it around. So that's pretty elite company with Mahomes and Rodgers, but it's not something that is normal for most quarterbacks.
So they've got the lead now. The Chiefs fans know that their quarterback's not 100%. They're just trying to finish off the game in the second half. They get an interception from Tyrann Mathieu. It looks like everything's going great. And then here comes Patrick Mahomes on a quarterback option, and he gets his head driven into the ground. You know, everybody's got to, you know, Andy Reid talking about him getting hit in the back of the head. Certainly the replays don't look like that was it. Very different. You know a little something, obviously, about being concussed out there playing quarterback. When you see him get up and wobble, right, that's it. Day's over.
Yeah.
You know that. And there's – I know Andy Reid said he passed all the tests, right? But
right.
He didn't pass the first one, which was the ability to stand up.
Right. That was scary. Anytime you see somebody stumble like that and the camera was able to get a close-up of his face and you can just tell he wasn't there, you know, it was good that the linemen were there to be able to catch him, because that would have even been worse had he fallen. Give credit to Patrick. Once he gained his sensibility back, you know, he tried jogging over to the blue tent, and then he jogged from the blue tent into the tunnel trying to convince everybody, hey, I'm fine, I'm going to go do it. Part of the evaluation, so not only will you have a team doctor, but you'll have an independent neurotrauma consultant that is doing the evaluation and the testing as well. Part of that evaluation is supposed to be reviewing the tape. So if they would go back, and I'm sure they did, go back and watch him stumbling when he was trying to get up, because I don't know if a lot of people saw that live. Obviously, the people watching TV and all that did, but if you're on the sideline or you're not able to have a clear view of it, you may not have been able to see that. And so part of that evaluation is studying the tape as well, just to see. So there, you know, Kevin and I had talked about it. I didn't think there was any way they were going to let him back in the game after, if they had witnessed him stumbling the way he did, I don't think there was any way. And then ultimately that's what happened, is he didn't get back in the game. The other thing that Kevin and I brought up, and it's hard to criticize Andy Reid in any way possible, shape, or form because of what he's done, but we didn't understand why he was running in that situation. Why? I mean, I know it was a good play. They actually scored a touchdown on it earlier in the game. That was the rushing touchdown. It was the same exact play he scored the rushing
right.
touchdown on. But knowing that his foot was in bad shape, I don't know. Hopefully he's healthy and he'll be able to play this week. All signs point that direction. I just would have rather – you know, rather done a different play, knowing that he was banged up the way that he was.
So let's dive a little deeper into that. Andy Reid has said, piecing together different conversations from different situations, right? Not this one directly, but when asked questions about, you know, guys, like there was the Tennessee game last year, Blake Bell left the game hurt. Then he came back into the game, and the play that they needed to convert a first down on was a play that gave Patrick Mahomes only one option, to throw the ball to Blake Bell. I can't remember the exact diagram of it, but I remember this being a big part of it. And he had gone out of the game, and then he didn't practice all week. He didn't play in the next game. I don't even know that he played in the game after that. And it all came from the injury that occurred in game. And so I said, listen, what's the protocol for if a guy gets hurt on determining whether or not he is capable of carrying out a play? Right, because he ultimately would be injured. And, you know, I tried to pin down Eric Bieniemy, and I tried to bend, and you know, they were very evasive. I get it. I understand it. It's not their job
right.
to tell me everything, so no hard feelings. But, you know, I think there ought to be something where either the guy goes, look, I can't go, which we know that's not the world you live in when you're an NFL player, right? Your answer, you know, it's held against you if your answer isn't, I can go, when you're in a hospital bed with tubes going in you, right? That's how you're supposed to act. So you can't leave it to the player. So then it's got to be on the coaches to decide. And Andy Reid, everyone kind of passes the buck. Well, they said he was good, so everyone's available. And Reid said to me, if he's available, then the whole playbook's available. Now, that was not about Patrick Mahomes, but that
right.
is kind of a window into his mindset, isn't it?
So yes, there's two different trains of thought on that, and I agree with you. If you remember back to when I was playing, I generally started every press conference during the week with the media. Everybody saying, "Hey, how you feeling?" And I'm like, "I'm good. I'm ready to go."
Yep.
And in my mind, it was either you're playing or you're not playing. It was if you're playing, you're good. It doesn't matter how banged up, what's bruised, what's sprained, what's whatever. If you're playing, you're playing. So my answer every one of those Wednesdays when I'd come out there was, oh, I'm good. I'm ready to roll. And
right.
and I know that that's the mindset of a lot of players. I know that's the mindset of a lot of coaches. The difference is when it's Patrick Mahomes and you have the lead and it's at the point of the game where it's at, I tend to, you know, I don't know if that's the dad in me coming out. I know as a competitor, I know you know, if you're Andy, you're thinking, okay, hey, if he's playing, then I've got everything at my disposal. And if we want to run another quarterback sneak, although last year we know what happened on the quarterback sneak. If we want to run another quarterback sneak, we're going to run one. So I understand where he's coming from. I just think, I guess in my mind, there's different rules for different players. That's all I'm saying.
And I think, and here's what's so, and I think Andy Reid might be kicking himself, is this is what I don't get. They have not run a quarterback sneak with Patrick Mahomes since his knee was injured, you know, in 2019.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so, right.
Which you know, and I'm fine with that decision because he's so valuable. You say, okay, we're going to take every precaution. But then that's the decision across the board. If that play's not there, then the option play isn't there. Or if it's in there, Patrick Mahomes is told, and we saw him slide. Now, penalty called it back. But we saw him get to within 2 yards of the end zone and slide. And everybody remembers the preseason game in 2018 where he took on the defender head on. And everyone went, hey, no. Maybe in the Super Bowl, but not in a preseason game. And he's learned that lesson. He's been more protective. He understands that he's more important than just getting 1 yard. And so we saw him slide in that game at about the 2, where the 1, I think, would have given him the first down, and then another yard, obviously, would have given him a touchdown. He slid. He understood he gave himself up. I'm okay if you leave that play in there, if you say, if anyone's close to you, just turtle. I know it doesn't look cool, but just get down on the ground. But more so, if you can't quarterback sneak it, and that was just a fluke. Tom Brady sneaked it how many times last night and has during his career? You know, if you pull that out of the playbook, which is the most effective 1 yard play there is, Baker Mayfield did it a number of times to the Chiefs yesterday, then you've got to take this stuff out that puts him at risk as well. That to me is the mistake that Reed made. Either, hey, injuries are part of the game and all of it's available, or he's too valuable and none of it's available.
So I agree with you on the quarterback sneak, and the injury that happened to Patrick last year is, that's one of those one in a million, if not one in a billion kind of things. I mean, I still look at that play and I still can't figure out how his kneecap got dislocated in that play. I mean, I look at it over and over again. I'm like, I don't know how there was enough force there for the kneecap to shift over to the, you know, but yeah, you're going to take, you know, and think about it. I mean, they even, you know, they've thrown passes to him. He's going out on routes. They're utilizing him in other ways. So I understand if you're going to play, you're going for it. But yeah, it was just a scary thing to see him go down the line. I understand it. They had great success with it earlier in the game. Like I said, they got the touchdown on it. I get it. I understand it. I still, on the replay, didn't see his head hit the ground. I think it had more to do with the way his neck was torqued and the way he was kind of whipped around. I still never really saw contact of the helmet hitting the ground until finally at the end of the play. So, you and I are on the same page.
I saw a guy who said he was a doctor, had a video out and was talking about this play. I think he's kind of trying to make himself the armchair, you know, internet doctor guru. It sounded pretty good. One of the things that he was saying was that the act of just forcing the head down unnaturally, right, kind of bending him and pushing with the guy's arm around his neck and pushing the head down further, and then it got to as far as it could go, and whether it hit the ground and bounced up, which I'm with you, it doesn't look like that happens, or if it's just his body got contorted as far as it could, and then it kind of whipped back on just like, hey, the body won't bend anymore, and that his brain in there, you know, we know the brain floats, hitting against the skull in a kind of an unnatural way, is what got him. It's not, don't mean to bring back bad memories, yours, which I to this day am thankful you ever got up, Trent, was one of the worst things I've ever seen in sports. But you've been through it, and I know they didn't have the strict protocols that they have now back when you played, but what do you think are the odds? And I know everyone's different and every concussion's different, so I'm not saying what you went through and your experiences will be what Patrick Mahomes are. But what do you think, as a guy who's at least been through this, the odds are that he can play or should play?
So a lot of it depends on how he feels today, how he felt last night. Did he ever get nauseous? Did he ever get dizzy? Did he suffer any memory loss? Does there's so many different factors that go into it. Does he have a headache? Does he still have a headache? The next step will be at some point in time when they clear him to resume physical activity. The first thing will be, hey, let's just walk on a treadmill. When you walk on a treadmill, is it causing lightheadedness? Is it giving you a headache? Is it making you dizzy? And you'll start working. There's a progression. So walking on a treadmill to jogging on a treadmill to lifting heavy weights to, going out and running around on a field to trying to get through a practice. I mean, there's a whole series of protocols you have to go through. And every single time you have to pass that test in terms of, being asymptomatic, not having any consequences because of the physical activity that you're doing. And they'll do all of that stuff. All of those things are in place now. For me, there's different things you can get. So when I had my concussion, I passed the concussion test, the thing that that they're saying, oh, well, he passed all the tests. So I passed the test within on that major one you're talking about in 2006. Mm-hmm. I passed that within a couple weeks. And then they didn't let me return for 8 weeks. So, and the reason for that is because the neurosurgeon basically took over care, which is what the organization, that's what Carl Peterson wanted. That's what the medical staff wanted, is when you say it's okay, I know, I had passed the protocol at this point in time, but now we're gonna let the people that work on brains make this decision. So even though I wanted to get back quicker, it was based on, what he was able to find and what his research was indicating and those kinds of things. So there's a whole series of things that are going to go there. And as you said, Seren, protocols are completely different, than they were 14 years ago. So it's substantially different and there's more pieces in place. But I can tell you there's basically a checklist of things that he's going to have to go through prior to being cleared to, to get back on the field.
So let me ask you this. How many of those things on that checklist could he just lie and get by? No, I'm not dizzy. No, obviously, if he gets on a treadmill and then he falls over, okay, you don't have balance. You're not passing this. We're shutting you down for 2 or 3 days before we try it again. But like having the headache or feeling dizzy, how many of those things could he lie and get by? Because that's my fear. That's what I've never understood on how the NFL – can guard against, because of so much of the game, like we said earlier, is you're supposed to be a tough guy and you're supposed to be able to go no matter what. Your answer is always, I'm fine. Like you said, every Wednesday, yeah. I'm fine. So how much of that is he a danger to himself by lying?
Well, he is. I mean, that's just the reality of it. We don't know. And that was when all these protocols were put in place, it's probably been 10 years now that some of these have been put in place and they're updated every year. That was the big fear, because it was, you have to be honest with the doctors, you have to be honest with the trainers, you have to be honest with yourself, and that's trying to educate, younger kids, grade school, middle school, high school, college, self-reporting. And if you remember back a few years ago, Alex Smith self-reported a concussion. And there were a lot of people that praised him and said, great job doing that. And then there were people within, the football world that were like, oh, how can you do that? You've got to play. If you can pass everything, well then, so there are players that do that. And I think that, self-reporting is a major part of it. The problem is you're dealing with an ultra competitive 25-year-old that wants to do everything he can to get out on the field. And that's just, I can just tell you from experience, and like I said, it was a different time back then, but there were a lot of things that you don't report. There were a lot of things that I either wouldn't tell the doctors or tell the trainers, and I'm not saying all brain related stuff. I'm saying, ankle here, thumb here, shoulder here, something like that, because you want to play so bad. You're like, okay, I don't want to miss any practice time. I know I got to get ready for this game. And that was the mindset and that was the mentality. Now it's different now. But that's a very real, very real question that you're asking there, Seren, is he's got to be honest with himself and he's got to be honest with the medical team that the Chiefs have.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the football part of the equation here with Trent Green. Trent, what did you think of the play of Chad Henne? Obviously, the one bad interception, Andy Reid tried to put that on himself. I don't know how that one could have been Andy. You know, maybe, okay, don't call the go route or something, but you got to see it and then not make that throw. But otherwise, pretty damn good day from Chad Henne, huh?
Yeah, it was impressive. You know, considering he really – you know, I know he played in week 17. So, I mean, I guess that was a benefit because he actually had just played recently. But for the most part, he hasn't played much over the last several seasons. You know, even last year getting hurt, you know, and missing a chunk of time. So, it was impressive. And I think everybody, at least I shouldn't say everybody. I know I was thinking on the 3rd and 14, I go, okay, they're going to run the ball here. I said at the very most is they're going to run a screen pass. Because you don't want to get a incomplete pass and stop the clock and, you know, give them more time. So they're going to run the ball. I'm telling Kevin, I go, they're going to run the ball here. They're going to get it down. At the very most, Cleveland's going to have to drive the field. They've got about a minute 10 to a minute and 15 by the time the punt's over with. And they won't have any timeouts. They're going to have to get a touchdown. And then sure enough, they call a pass play. And then he takes off and runs. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then sure enough, you know, they're in man-to-man coverage. They're thinking, well, Henne's not going to run. So he finds this big gap. And then talk about, you know, I see the hashtag anything is possible. And the fact that he dives for it and ends up short. And then Andy Reid goes empty backfield and does a pass on 4th and inches. Those last two plays, that basically has cemented Chad Henne in the Chiefs history books forever.
Yeah, I mean, if they go on to win the Super Bowl, that's going to be one of the most iconic moments. But he certainly seemingly just kind of earned his whole, you know, contract with just that move. Not to take anything away from the Chiefs defense, which you know, allowed only 17 points, which in today's game is a really big accomplishment. But to be able to go out and you know, make a couple of plays that are huge for your team in the backup role, I mean, that's a tremendous thrill. And it was fun watching him do the post-game press conference and what he did. What you saw out of him, right? We saw Matt Moore stay within 7 points of the Packers last year and beat the Minnesota Vikings, a team that would be in the playoffs later. What chance do you give the Chiefs winning if it is Chad Henne that starts against the Bills?
Oh, obviously he's not Patrick Mahomes, but I mean, the reason he is who he is and why he's here is, I mean, he can win a football game. It's not like he can't. You know, it's gonna take a lot. The defense is gonna have to play better. They're gonna have to have one of their best games of the season because Buffalo right now is rolling. Josh Allen's playing really well. You know, Stephon Diggs led the league in receiving. You know, they've got a lot of weapons up there. So it's not just gonna be Chad Henne trying to get the thing done. It's gonna have to take everybody. You know, to beat Buffalo. And I know they beat them earlier in the season. That was back in week 6. But Buffalo is a much different team than they were earlier in the season. And they're playing much more confidently.
Yeah, no doubt. And but they didn't play that well offensively. Now, Baltimore's a good defensive team, but managing only 10 points on offense, is there,
right.
You know, do you buy the teams can peak too early deal, and maybe that's where Buffalo was, that they peaked earlier. They you know, great game getting by the Ravens, but it was about to be 10-10. Instead, they get the pick six, which was huge and really finished the game off. And of course, Lamar Jackson left the game. Is Buffalo maybe not being, you know, people aren't digging deep enough on the fact that maybe Buffalo's not playing the best right now?
Well, they're not. And I mean, I guess you could turn around and say the same thing about Kansas City. You know, the fact that, you know, they scored 22 points in this last game. And then the last time the starters played was against a 4-win Atlanta team, you know, and they put up 17 points. And that was with a touchdown with under 2 minutes to go. So in reality, you know, the Chiefs have had some of those same struggles. Now, the difference and the thing that I see a lot of similarities with these teams, both teams, is finding ways to win. I mean, the Chiefs have now won, 8 consecutive games by 6 points or less. So they're finding ways to win football games, and you don't want to lean on that all the time, but it's good to have that experience. And, you know, same thing goes for Buffalo. Without that 101-yard interception return, it's a much different story and a much different scenario, you know, that we're talking about. Who knows how that game ultimately plays out if that doesn't happen and Baltimore goes in and scores at that point in time. Who knows how it unfolds. But I think this is a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to it. And I just think it's two teams that believe and are hot and are playing confident and got a little swagger to them. And it's really what championship weekend should be all about.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a couple of great games. Certainly looking forward to it. All right, time for our Final Four with Trent Green, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours to see you quickly. Request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Trent, I will start you with this one. How many times in your football career did you throw a pass on 4th and 1?
I don't think I ever did. I'm trying to think. We had a game. We played the Browns at Arrowhead, maybe in 2003, 2004, something like that. We had a 4th down. If we pick up the 1st down, then we don't have to give the ball back. Now we were, you know, it was one of those things that would have been like a 60-yard field goal attempt. We went ahead and called a pass, and instead of hitting Gonzalez for the 1st down, I decided to go. Against man coverage, I decided to take Kinnison on the corner route, and fortunately for me, he caught it and he scored a touchdown. So that worked out in my favor. So I don't know if that was a 4th and 1, but it was 4th and short that we decided to go for it.
Okay. All right. So there's at least a fairly vivid memory. Drew Brees walks away from, or looks like he's going to walk away from the game. 80,000 career passing yards. He is the all-time leader right now, although only about 1,000 behind him is Tom Brady, who says he's coming back. So where does Mahomes finish in passing yards when it's all said and done?
Well, I think the thing you have to realize there, and I want to say he's a little over 14,000 right now, if I remember right.
Yep.
From my
notes
yesterday. So
14,152.
I think the thing that he has, the hard thing to decide on that is staying healthy. You know, Tom Brady's played 21 years. He didn't play any that first year, and then he had the year where the ACL, the first game of the season. So 19 out of 21 years, he's basically, I guess it would be 18 and a half, because Bledsoe got hurt early in the season in his second year when he took over and they won the Super Bowl. So 18 and a half, I mean, that's a long time to stay healthy and be productive and put up huge numbers. So my roundabout way of answering is just to play the averages, I don't know, let's say 60,000.
Okay.
You figure he's throwing for about 5,000 a year, between 4,500 and 5,000 a year. So let's give it 60,000.
I think if he's going to touch those records, then there has to be a new plan on when he runs, right?
Because
you know, he's getting hurt more than Tom Brady did.
And because I know, you know, you talk about the gambling line and like the over-unders and all that stuff, I'm going to let you decide what the over-under is on yardage. So I'm going to say 60,000. What are you saying the over-under is?
You know, I think that's a great number to put the total at because of the injury aspect, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, that could be, you know, the record for years was 40-something thousand from Fran Tarkenton. And so this is rarefied air, and to get to that rarefied air, you know, you've got to stay healthy, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, there are 22 guys that have thrown for 40,000. There are only 7 that have thrown for 60. Brees, Brady, Rivers, and Roethlisberger are 4 of those 7. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Dan Marino are the others. So I think 60 is probably a great over-under number. I think it's a great prediction, to be honest with you. That's where I'd put it.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, there you go. You're a gambler at heart. All right, next one. One game to play. Would you have Brady or Rodgers be your quarterback?
At this stage of their careers, I would have Rodgers.
Okay. Now, one game to play if they're in their prime. Both in their prime.
Oh, I got to go Brady just because because of what he's done. I mean, Brady is 9-4 in championship games. Aaron Rodgers is 1-3 in championship games. And that is – I'm not knocking Aaron Rodgers. There is no way ever I would ever say anything negative about Aaron Rodgers because I think he is phenomenal and is without a doubt 100% first ballot Hall of Famer, and that goes without saying. And he'll get his 3rd MVP whenever they announce it for this season. But when you're talking one game on the line, all you have to do is look at, you know, Brady's track record, and I'd be silly not to – with him.
I hear you. You are what your record says you are, and Tom Brady says he's the GOAT. So
that's right.
We will see. Trent, great stuff, man. Really love it. Thanks for all the insight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, and I appreciate it. It's been a great season. Looking forward to talking to you again. But before I get out of here, I want to give some kudos to Dan Sorensen. I know, you know, you go back to last year's game, the comeback win over Houston, the comeback win over Tennessee, and then once again he comes up with a huge hit that prevented Higgins from getting into the end zone, whether it was helmet to helmet, whatever, it wasn't called. He knocked the ball loose. I mean, that was a game changer, and it's just time and time again he comes up with a play that really saves things for the Chiefs, and they utilize him in so many different ways. I don't know what he's getting paid, but they're not paying him enough because he plays everything, and he's always getting the job done. So I just wanted to get that in before I get out of here.
Hey, I think it's a great point. I echo it. Dirty Dan has been a great Kansas City Chief, and you know, he had a play that I don't think got enough hype. He took out Derrick Henry last year in the AFC Championship game when Henry had a head of steam and looked like he could be taken off on one of his big runs. And it wasn't – he didn't – I think it was like a 12-yard run, but it was Dirty Dan or the end zone. And Dan threw himself in there and took his legs out, and Henry was never the same after that play. You are right. There's so many plays. Like he's a football player's football player, and you making that point shows it. You know, you guys see what he does, those little things that aren't the stat things that don't get you big, fat contracts, but they help you win games. He's a stud. I agree with you. Well said, Trent. Well done.
And they're, like you said, those are historical plays. I mean, you think about the Titans game and the AFC Championship game. You think about the hit Sunday and the Browns in the divisional game. You go back to the Houston game in the division. I mean, those are historical-type plays and coming up at big moments. So, yeah, he's like I said, you can't pay him enough for what he does.
Yeah, he's been great. Trent, you're always great as well, buddy. Thanks so much for the time. Let's talk next week.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Soren.
The program with Soren Petro.
I want you to take your hand out of that bowl of Fritos, throw away your National Enquirer, and pick up the phone. Go ahead, pick it up. Talk radio.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first to Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, burnt end of the hour answer. What team has the record for wins in a four-year span without getting to a Super Bowl? It is the Saints. These past 4 years, 49 wins, no Super Bowl.
Wow. Wow. That's not the record that you want.
No.
Right? No. By the way, we were playing for what there? What do we have going on?
Well, Joe's KC Barbecue there.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get the app. Easiest way to get it. Joe'sKC.com if you want to send it anywhere in the country. We had Joe's at my house on Saturday. So thanks to all the folks at Joe's for the great, great work that they do. Listen, today is Martin Luther King Day. And let's all take a moment, right? It's been a tough year. We're off to a tough start to 21. Probably got some time before it's really going to truly get better. Let's take a moment to think about the sacrifices that have been made. And let's just, I think Danny said it a while ago, let's try to be better. On a day that we remember a man that, you know, stood and tried to do everything he could to make the world, to make our country a better place at great sacrifice of his own, let's think that way, right? Let's enjoy the Chiefs. Let's have fun. Let's do all that. But maybe take a minute. Let's remember what the day's all about. Think about what we can do to help.